Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Weather's beautiful. Wonderful show today about
Look at all the food we have. Is this crazy? This is your dream.
It is.
You wake up in the morning, people bring you food.
Exactly. And most of all, I mean, two of my favorite foods too, olive oil and vinegar.
Oh, there you go.
I love, you know, I drink vinegar.
Really? Mm-hmm. Is that a Kansas thing?
No.
Oh, you pick that up later in life?
I think it's an acquired taste, but no, in a shot glass, I literally love to drink vinegar.
What about olive oil?
I don't drink it, but I like it. I cook with it, and, you know, sometimes I have it straight. But
straight up?
Yeah, sometimes I bathe with it.
It's a good moisturizer.
Exactly. Excited about our show this morning, obviously, because it is about food, and that's one of my passions. I love to cook, and I know our listeners probably love to eat, and our guests this morning have wonderful things to share about their companies, all local to Atlanta. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. First up this morning, we have Carolyn O'Neill from Flavors Magazine. Welcome.
Well, it's great to be here. And Flavors Magazine, doesn't that just sound delicious?
Yes, it does. And it's beautiful. It's always beautiful. The photography, everything about it.
Well, Flavors Magazine comes out quarterly, and you know, today we're talking about seasonality so much, winter, spring, summer, fall, so we get excited about the seasonal beauties of the food that are in the marketplace, and of course, our wonderful chefs here in Atlanta who create incredible recipes for us, and the you said beautiful, and the photography in Flavors Magazine, for those of you who have seen it, you know what I'm talking about. For those of you who don't know, flavorsmagazine.net, you can check us out right away. But the magazine is photographed by John Hagwood Studios, again, a local photographer, part of the Flavors family. And these, if, Amy, looking at these photographs, don't they just jump from the page and make you want to jump in the kitchen and prepare that recipe?
Oh, yes. You almost have to take the cookbook away from me because it's killing me. The pictures look great. It's making me hungry, making my mouth water. It's beautiful. It really is. And it looks like, I mean, it makes all the food look like art. So before we hop into the cookbook, though, tell us a little bit more about Flavors Magazine, how it started, who your audience is, where we can find it.
Well, Flavors Magazine was founded by John Hagwood and Yolanda Jones, who's our publisher. And Yolanda is so passionate about food and wine and cuisine and, of course, the Atlanta food culture and the Atlanta dining scene. So when you pick up a copy of Flavors Magazine, the reason it's different from other magazines you might see on the newsstand or subscribe to or look at online, it's different because we really are literally a cookbook in a magazine. You know, and today we talk about, like, you know, surfing the web. Well, I think people swim in magazines. It's something to really savor and really enjoy. Stories about chefs, stories about food adventures. I'm the lifestyle editor, and you'll see an article in each issue called Flavor Forays, and we travel to places like Argentina, or maybe it's Naples, Florida in our upcoming issue. Again, inspiring us to travel, but also inspiring us to learn from the chefs that we meet and cook up things at home with those new ingredients we might have learned about. And then also, oh my gosh, one of my favorite things in the magazine, who doesn't like to spy in on dream kitchens? Mm. And Allison Entrekin, who is one of our editors, always shares an incredible Atlanta kitchen and the design and how it works, and of course interviews with the folks who own the kitchen and why they love to cook. And Shelley Sawyer, who's our food editor, let me tell you something. You know, when you get a recipe and you get all excited, and you buy all the stuff at the store, and you take it home, and you start to cook, and it doesn't work. Well, Shelley Sawyer, our food editor, is absolutely fastidious about testing these recipes, making sure they're written so you can follow them, making sure that when you do follow them, it turns out absolutely just as beautiful as the photograph. So we love Shelley because she really can turn... And I don't know, some of these chefs' recipes, you know, there's like 1,000 ingredients. We have to pare them down. We have to tie these guys down, you know, to the kitchen counter and say, all right, let's simplify this recipe so we can make it just as wonderful as you do in the restaurant. So that, you can feel the passion, I mean, of the people who are working on the magazine. And Ophelia Santos, who is our wine editor, oh my gosh, her knowledge, every issue absolutely just totally surprises me, whether it's, you know, understanding or learning about the appeal of a dry Riesling. You know, we hear about the sweet Rieslings, the dry Rieslings and how they pair with seafood, or maybe just gorgeous wines of Argentina. You've seen what a great value mm-hmm. they are in the stores. And you want to, like, well, gee, which one should I buy?
Right.
Tell me more about these varietals from different parts of the country. So again, helps you when you're shopping or when you're in a restaurant and choosing wines. That's what we want to do. Enhance the love and enjoyment of food. And Flavors Magazine really is a forum for everybody who's a foodie in Atlanta.
I look so forward to it. It's one of those, like, when I get it, I have to carve out a few hours because I have to read it cover to cover. And, you know, a lot of things are done online now, but there's something special about just holding it. I don't know. And the pictures are great and just being able to read it. It's an experience.
People do not throw away their copies of Flavors magazines. I mean, I have them. You just want to save them. They are like little cookbooks. And, you know, if you want to subscribe, you know, you can find them in various newsstands around town. But I really think you want to ensure that you get your copy and subscribe. And, you know, you make money. I know this is a financial show a lot of times. You make money by subscribing to Flavors because, you know, it is $24 to subscribe for the year, and we send you a $25 gift certificate to the Sedgwick Restaurant Group. So you make a dollar. I think that's almost better than the return on Wall Street, isn't it?
Wow. We got to make
just
sure we
for
put that.
That. Yeah. Wow.
We've got to blog about that. Yeah. Hey, we just saved you a dollar.
Yeah, and the Sedgwick Group with their great restaurants up in Alpharetta. You may have been to Pure or Bistro VG mm-hmm. and Aspen's. I mean, they're such a great supporter of our magazine, and we really thank them for that. And you know what I'm excited about talking about now, our first cookbook.
Yes, it's only taken how many years?
Well, you know, we wanted to get the best of the best in there. Mm-hmm. So we have the best photography, the best recipes, the best chefs, and it is just something you definitely want to keep, if not on the kitchen counter, maybe even in the living room on the coffee table, because it is so beautiful. And right now, until May the 30th, because we're in May right now, only $14.95, and I think that's such a good price point for a gift. You know, so you want to have one for yourself, and you probably want to get another one to give it away, to share the love. And then this is the introductory price, $14.95 until May the 30th. And then it's going to go up to $19.95. Again, just, you know, a great price point. I think people like something under $20. It's something that you'll say, this is worth it. And when you look at these photographs and the gorgeous recipes, I mean, Amy, read some of the names of these recipes.
Lemon avocado buttermilk sorbet. I mean, who would think to combine those two things?
Oh, I need to hear another one.
Coconut cake, twisted key lime pie. I'm on the
dessert
section.
I think she must be in the dessert section. Yeah,
can you tell? I went
right in the photos.
Now, are these recipes different than the ones that appeared in the magazine previous?
Some of them are new. Some of them have been previously published, but again, they're all in one place, best of the best. And I think people like that our editors have sort of gone through to see which are the ones that the reader's favorites. And so that's a service, too.
Okay, hang on. So Haven, one of my favorite restaurants, certified Angus beef tenderloin with blue cheese. I'm dying to read this because I've had it before and it's awesome.
You know, I also do a column in the magazine called Healthy Flavors, and I am a dietitian. Don't be afraid, people. I'm a food lover and a dietitian. But you know, when you talk about beef, people don't realize what great nutrients are in there, you know, and just so good for you. And then blue cheese. Blue cheese is something, you know, you only need a little to add a little zippity-doo-dah to a recipe. So okay, as a dietitian, I approve.
Hang on, listeners. Okay, so now I know why I love this dish so much. It's got applewood smoked bacon.
Oh, here we go.
Maytag blue cheese and butter sauce. Oh, yeah, my mouth is definitely watering. You
know, what's the calorie count on that, dietitian?
Well, you know what? It depends how much you eat.
It's a small piece in the, picture,
you
too.
You know, I think that, again, the magazine is called Flavors, and I think whether you're into just full-on just food enjoyment or health and nutrition, and I think that today it's part and parcel because we want to feel good, we want to look good, we want to treat friends great when they come over to eat, and I think you can have all of these great ingredients prepared in a beautiful way, and you know, as they do in France, they savor the flavors. So flavorsmagazine.net to subscribe. And I mean, my mother just said, I want 5 copies of this because she's going to go and treat her friends at the Bridge Club and have it as a prize or something like that. So, I mean, it's really gotten a lot of excitement. And we're very proud of it.
This is a perfect hostess gift. That's what I need. I need to stock up on these. You put a ribbon on it. You take it when you go to someone's house for dinner. What a great gift.
In John Hagwood Studios, in an upcoming issue, folks, if you subscribe, and you will subscribe, we're going to do kind of a twofer. He also does amazing family portraits. So we thought, hey, let's do family portrait and then the family favorite recipe together in the magazine.
And so take a picture of the finished product.
Yes. So the fun family and then the fun family food favorite.
And that's perfect for your kitchen, Amy.
Mm-hmm. You might need to come over and check out my kitchen,
so.
Carolyn.
We're looking for ideas all the time, listeners. So, you know, get in touch with Amy if you've got an idea for Flavors Magazine as well. Maybe you have a dream kitchen.
She has a dream.
I absolutely
just
do
finished
have
one.
Yeah, just finished my dream kitchen. Yeah, it's and I love it. I love everything about it. So, yeah.
Well, the photographers are on their way.
Come over and visit. Actually, we did some cooking segments out of it, which leads me to my next question for you. Do you guys have any cooking classes?
Well, you know, we do have – the other thing about being a part of the community is we have Flavors cover unveilings. We have cooking classes we like to be a part of. We certainly support charities all over town. And, again, if you go on flavorsmagazine.net, our website, you'll see all kinds of things about that. To get involved, it's more than just reading the magazine. It really is joining the family if you're a foodie and a winey. So we have all kinds of events all the time. And so that's why we want to just keep it going on with the community in the restaurants and cooking classes in the various cooking schools around town, too.
Terrific. Give us the website one more time.
It is flavorsmagazine.net, not .com, not .org, .net. And I always think about this when I go in the grocery store. I like to cast a wide net to get all the great foods that I love to cook with. So flavorsmagazine.net. Join us or email us at flavorsmagazine@gmail.com. And we have a Facebook, too, of course.
Wonderful. Gosh, thanks for being with us today, Carolyn. And this cookbook is amazing. It really is. I've got a lot of cookbooks, and the pictures are what kind of does it.
I wish we could show them. Maybe they'll be, flavorsmagazine.net, you can see it.
Tuna apple tartare. Does that not look amazing?
Ooh, which chef was that?
That was from... Serpas.
I love Scott Serpas. Yeah. He knows what to do with big flavors because he's from New Orleans.
I've not been there. Oh, Restaurant Eugene, chestnut soup. Oh, my goodness. I read about Serenby in Flavors, and I'm planning a trip there in 2 weeks.
Oh, it's a beautiful farm down there. Mm-hmm. It's a sort of a Disneyland for food lovers and just to get away and wander around. And whether you're being chased by little goats or maybe you're just sitting enjoying a crispy pastry with a cup of coffee in the morning or a glass of wine with some gorgeous cheese, it's... a great getaway.
Yeah, can't wait. I'll have to report back on that.
Thanks so much
for being with us today. We appreciate the insight. Gosh, Lee, look at that.
Now you're hungry.
Well, I had a little snack downstairs before I came up, but this is definitely making my mouth water. And the wine, that's the one thing I love about their magazine, too, is that it does do a really good job pairing the wines. Because you go to the store and you kind of look around, right. You never know what to try. Our next guest this morning has a little bit of a different take on gourmet foods. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Don Foster.
Thank you for having me.
So Foster Fine Foods, tell us about it and how in the world you came up with it.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm really excited to be here this morning and talking about all these foods just is really my passion. So the reason I started this business is, first of all, it was my dream to start my own business. And I love food and I love traveling. And I just wanted to kind of pair those passions together into a business. I'd actually worked for years marketing food and beverages, developing food and beverages for numerous companies. And I really decided, it's time for me to go out on my own. And so I decided to start the business importing some wonderful products from Chile. I'm importing some extra virgin olive oils and some jams and chutneys as well.
Okay. And how did you come up with that region?
Oh, it's interesting. I had lived abroad a couple of times, mainly in Europe. But when I traveled down to South America and came back to the States, I found that, all those wonderful products that I found down there, you really couldn't find here in the States. And Chile, especially, is just such an interesting place. They have a very Mediterranean climate, so they grow the most wonderful produce down there. Of course, a lot of people know about all the wines that they have. They've just really done such a great job with really high-quality products. And when I did travel down there, I found all these entrepreneurs who are making these really high-quality products, and I just got so excited about the products I found, and you couldn't really find them here in the States, so that's why I really picked Chile, and I met with, probably 30, 40 different entrepreneurs who were making food products, and right now I'm just bringing in two product lines into the States, but I hope to bring, a lot more and add to the line over time.
Tell us the differences in olive oil. I mean, I think of Italy or Spain when I think of olive oil. Tell us how the olive oil you're importing is different from what I might be familiar with.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I mean, a lot of people say to me, oh, wow, I didn't know Chile was making olive oil. Well, you know, Chile, again, they have a very Mediterranean climate, so it really is the perfect climate to grow olives. And they've been planting olive groves all around where the wineries are. Kind of in the, you know, the middle of the country. And you are really going to start to see a lot more Chilean olive oil. The ones that I'm bringing in now are some of the first Chilean olive oils that you can find in the States. The main difference between Chilean versus some of the Mediterranean versions, the trees are still very young in Chile. They've really been, you know, they started planting way back in the 1500s when, you know, all the Spanish settlers lived there. And but it really, over the last kind of 10 years, they've been planting a lot of trees. So the trees are still very, very young. So the main difference between Chilean olive oils and Spanish or Italian is that they have a fresher, kind of greener flavor to them. Mm. You'll really taste that green fruit of the olive when you taste a Chilean olive oil.
Can you talk a little bit about the business side of this? How, like, the nuts and bolts of, you came from a big corporation and now all of a sudden you're a small business person and you're having to deal with importing stuff into this country and the challenges that that can bring?
Yeah, I had not imported anything before. My background is really business and marketing. But I found that the importing side of it was really not that complicated. I mean, you get people to work with you. I have a customs broker based in Savannah who helps me, you know, with all the logistics of, you know, clearing the products through customs. And of course, my suppliers help me with shipping companies and things like that. So I've had a lot of people, you know, just helping me, and I've been learning along the way. But it really hasn't been as complicated as I thought it might be.
So is the challenge then getting the distribution into the stores?
Yeah, interestingly, I'm really focusing the majority of my time on, you know, introducing these products into stores and to consumers here in the United States. And a lot of people still don't realize that, you know, there are olive oils from Chile and that there are, you know, some really there's wonderful produce and things from there and a lot of other great products. So, you know, it's really all about kind of educating people that, you know, there are a lot of great products down there and, you know, that they should give them a try.
So how are you going about that? Are you trying to get into, like, the Whole Foods? Or are you going into the gourmet kind of places? Or
yeah, I'm targeting gourmet food stores.
What about restaurants?
I haven't actually started targeting restaurants, but I think they're great products for that. I've really started more with gourmet food stores. So anything from, you know, kind of, we have some of our olive oils in Savor here in Atlanta. But then I'm also looking at Fresh Market and Whole Foods and other stores like that.
And what about online?
And I do sell the products online as well. I sell them on my website at fosterfinefoods.com. And then they're also available on amazon.com as well.
Oh, that's great. That's huge. And I see all these different varieties of jams. And you did tell me you were going to let me keep a couple of these, right?
Of course.
And I'm going to come up with some recipes for you.
Yes, absolutely.
Which already my mind is racing because, I mean, all of them would probably taste very good on their own. But pear jam and Merlot wine.
Yeah.
I mean, how fabulous does that sound?
Yep. Oh, well, my goal is really to bring in, you know, new, unique products that are, you know, authentic to the region. So what we have here for jams, we have the brand name is called Huerto Azul, which means blue orchard. And they are actually based in the south of Chile near the Villarrica volcano. And it's kind of the lakes district down there. Really beautiful, beautiful area. But she makes jams that are really different. I actually call them adult jams because we have two that are made with Chilean Merlot wine. One is an onion jam in Merlot wine, and the other one is a pear jam in Merlot wine. And these products are to die for. I mean, the pear jam to me tastes like poached pears. It's and that's one of my favorite desserts. The onion jam is actually a sweet jam, but it goes really well with savory items like roast beef and Gruyere cheese. Mm-hmm. So, and even on its own, it's delicious.
That's going to be great on my grilled pork.
Yes,
I'm gonna
absolutely.
Marinate. And you know, the interesting thing about these is when you look at the size of the jar, I mean, it looks small, but I bet they're so flavorful that you only need a little bit.
They are. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. The other two I have are chutneys. One is a fig chutney, and it's made with a spice mixture called merquén. And merquén was actually a spice mixture developed by the Mapuche tribes in the south of Chile. So, you know, for hundreds and hundreds of years, the tribes down there used this to flavor their food. And merquén is made with smoked chilies. And they add some coriander seeds and some cumin and some salt. So it's got kind of a smoky flavor like a chipotle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really interesting to pair with something sweet like fig because you get the sweetness of the figs and then the really kind of smoky flavor of the merquén. And it's just a wonderful combination. I really love this product with, you know, goat cheese or, I mean, you could pair it with, you know, pork or duck.
Fish.
Or,
I mean, if it's...
fish, absolutely.
Fig with fish. I love fig because it's sweet and sometimes offsets.
Look at that. Using that culinary degree now, aren't you?
My mind is racing here as I'm looking at all of them because there's so many great things. And people don't think of chutneys or jams as cooking items. They think of slathering it on a piece of toast. But, I mean, that's so basic.
What's the difference between jam and chutney?
Well, there's several different terms. Jelly is actually, you know, kind of just the fruit juice, you know, with a little bit of kind of pectin. A jam is then a little bit thicker, where you actually get some chunks of the fruit, but it's not really chunky. Then you move on to a chutney, which is very chunky. And chutneys often pair kind of sweet and savory flavors. So, you know, this is a fig chutney, but it has apples and onions in it. It's got a real mixture. So, I mean, it's just got such a depth of flavor that's just fabulous.
I love it.
Yeah. And then this last one I just want to talk about is rose hip jam, which is really interesting because you find a lot of rose hip teas around, but I've really never seen a rose hip jam. And this is made from, you know, the berries on, you know, certain types of rose bushes. And it is packed with vitamin C. It's very, very healthy product. And it's got such an interesting flavor. It's got the consistency of like honey, but the flavor is almost more like apricot. So it's really interesting. It's great on toast, but then it's also, you know, really good for, you know, with yogurt or like poured over ice cream or something. It really pairs well with creamy things. But I'm definitely interested in some, you know, new ideas for this product. One consumer at one of the tasting demos I was at said, you know, this might be really good to, you know, kind of put onto ribs, like at the, you know, like when you're finishing ribs and you put on some like sweetness. So I got to give that a try one of these days.
Well, now you know what you're doing this weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Oh,
exactly.
That's exciting.
Yeah. And, you know, I just wanted to go back to the olive oils as well. I mean, in addition to the fact that they have a little bit of a different flavor than the ones from the Mediterranean region, the ones that I'm bringing in right now are actually single varietal olive oils. And what that means is they're made with one particular olive, just like, you know, wines are made with different types of grapes. Each olive, you know, really has its own characteristics. So when you have a single varietal, you can really taste the, you know, taste the flavors of that. So, you know, a Merlot is different from a Cabernet. Well, an Arbequina olive oil is actually quite different from a Piqual or, you know, any other variety.
What's the best way to taste olive oil? I mean, like the vinegar, I drink it, but you don't. And what's the best way to taste it? Just on a bland bread, or how?
Well, I think the best way really is to you can put it in a small glass.
Shot glass.
Yeah, shot glass, and you're supposed to kind of warm it up a little bit so you can kind of get the aromas and swirl it around. It's actually very similar to tasting wines.
Okay.
So you know, again, that similarity to wines with the single varietals, you can really, you know, you swirl it around, you warm it up a little bit in your hand, and then you pour it in
taste it.
You kind of, you know, swirl it around in your mouth. Again, same as a wine tasting. And, you know, and then you swallow it and, you know, you can really just get all the intricacies of the olive oil. You can even, when it's in your mouth, you can even kind of breathe in a little sharply, and supposedly that, you know, that really kind of activates the compound, so you even
you need
get
an olive
more.
Oil, what is it, sommelier?
Yeah,
do
exactly.
Do they have those?
Yeah.
Not yet. I haven't heard of it, but, you know, maybe they do in Italy or Spain or something. But then when you actually swallow the olive oil, that's when you kind of detect the bitterness. Mm-hmm. Again, a lot of the, you know, the Spanish and Italian olive oils, they'll have a, you know, really kind of strong, you'll get that real kind of tickle in your throat. You know, that is the bitterness, which is, it's a good thing in olive oil. The Chilean olive oils don't have as much bitterness as the Mediterranean ones. And I think, again, that goes back to the fact that the trees are still very, very young. You know, the trees in the Mediterranean are hundreds and hundreds of years old, whereas in Chile, they're still very young. So you get much more of that green flavor. But the difference between kind of the Arbequina and the Picual is you get a little bit more of that bitterness with the Picual. You'll get a little bit of a tickle in your throat, a little bit of a kick or pepper flavor. Some people refer to it as a pepper flavor. Mm. Whereas the Arbequina is very mild, very green, very smooth, and I get even kind of a buttery, nutty flavor. I absolutely love the Arbequina, especially on salads, on vegetables, and on fish.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. So give us the website one more time. If people are listening and they just can't wait, they got to go online and buy these so they can taste them.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fosterfinefoods.com, and the products are also available on amazon.com as well.
Do you have any tastings or anything coming up?
Yes, I do. I have some tastings in South Carolina at the end of the month. I'm doing some of the jams, the onion jam and the pear jam there. And I'm always looking to do tastings at retailers that carry my products. I just had an olive oil tasting at Savor this past Saturday, and I hope to get there again probably in another couple of months.
Terrific. Well, keep us posted.
I will.
Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it.
Yum. Lee, that sounds so good.
I know. It's right up your alley.
It is, definitely.
You just must be having the best time today.
Oh, I am. I'm like a kid in a candy store, I guess. Or actually, I'm like an adult in a wine store or
a gourmet shop.
Exactly. Gosh, that was great. Our next guest will excite you too as well, because I know how you feel about teriyaki.
You know I love teriyaki.
I know you love teriyaki, and so does your family. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show this morning. We have Tony Joseph from the Teriyaki Experience. Welcome.
Good morning. How's everybody doing today?
Doing great, Tony. So you have a lot of experience in the franchising world of restaurants, and it says over 30 years, but I'm not buying it. I mean, what, you start when you're 10?
I just turned 50 this year.
Wow. Really? That's all that good teriyaki.
And
right?
Probably some olive oil.
Actually, good teriyaki, and you know, got exercise. I teach spinning on the side at the LA Fitness.
Oh, nice. Look at that.
And I teach at a Snap Fitness out in Peachtree City.
See that, Amy? So, a man after your own heart.
Exactly.
So if you want to get your butt kicked, come on down.
Likes to eat and likes to exercise hard.
That's right. So, Tony, tell us about Teriyaki Experience.
Well, Teriyaki is 23 years old. They're out of Canada, and we just came into the U.S. 3 years ago. And we have already over 300 commitments in the U.S., and we just started here in Atlanta. And we're looking to build 40 units in the state of Georgia.
Wow.
So we're very excited
plans.
About it. Yes.
So the economy isn't affecting that? I heard the franchise food especially, it's a little tricky now with financing.
Economy definitely has been affected by everybody, but most of the times when that happens, a lot of people want to go and own their own business.
Right.
So they figure, hey, I'll go, you know, maybe go to my 401k or my savings or family and friends, and let me try to open a business so I could be my own boss and create my own wealth.
Now, Teriyaki Experience is a quick serve restaurant. Define quick serve.
Yes, we're a little different. You have the Benihana type Japanese style
right.
Feel. Because we cook fresh in front of you.
Right.
But nobody's flipping eggs on their head. Or
but you could if I asked nice.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So, but you know, this all happens within 2 to 3 minutes.
Wow.
And you get to watch everything on a teppanyaki grill.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the vegetables and your proteins get cooked right in front of you. And we have rice bowls and noodle bowls, and they're just absolutely delicious. We cook in water, which cuts down the calorie and fat intake.
Oh, wow, that's great.
And then we have a homemade special secret cooking sauce that we use for if you want a little more flavor.
Is this one of those secret sauces, like secret. I'm going to come to teriyaki experience and I'm going to have to leave with five bottles and put it on everything? I love the sauces. So the teriyaki experiences, or talk to us about where you are in the Georgia area, and you mentioned a huge growth plan.
Yes. We are on Howe Mill Road at the District at Howe Mill Shopping Center, and you got to come down. It's an experience. Like I said, we cook everything fresh in front of you, so there's nothing in a pan waiting there that's been there for 3 or 4 hours,
right?
Which a lot of Asian type places, you know, we all been to. So it's very exciting to come down and witness. And it's fast, it's fresh, it's cooked before you. If you're interested in the business side of it, this is a very simple business for inexperienced. Obviously, we like to have experienced people, but
they don't have to have restaurant experience necessarily?
No, there's a four-step process. I mean, you start at the POS system, you make your order, you go to the, you know, 2 feet down, you're watching somebody cook your vegetables, and you just walk right down the line, somebody's cooking your meat. And it all happens in three steps there, and then they put a little sauce on at the end.
And then hand it to you, and off you go.
You're on your way. And then we have a... self-serve bottles if you want to add a little more sauce.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, especially for those that are looking to eat light and healthy. I love the concept. Now, you've got a lot of experience in the restaurant business and the franchising business. Can you maybe give our listeners some successful tips for entrepreneurs that are looking to go into business?
Right, like they're considering, you know, like you said, now that they got their... You know, they got laid off, and now all of a sudden they got a pile of 401k money, and they don't know what to do now with the rest of their life.
Well, I'd have to say the number one thing you got to do is make sure that you're going to get into something you really enjoy, because you're going to spend a lot of time when you own a business. It's a seven-day-a-week job. The good, the bad, and the ugly is that you have to have passion behind what you're going to do.
Right.
Create a great business plan is the second thing that you have to do, and make sure you have enough capital to get through a situation like right now with the economy.
Right.
If you don't have any of those three things, I would say...
Wait.
Yeah, just wait.
Now, what about you? You could have chosen a million different franchises. You've had experience in this. And how'd you find them, first of all, and how'd you choose them?
Actually, I got recruited. A gentleman I worked with in the past, I met these... Nick Beloche, actually, he was my boss, and out in Vegas, and they were asking for an operation guy. Long story short, I went through an interview process, and I wasn't even looking for a job. But really what sold me was the people behind the scenes, the corporate staff, you know, they did everything they said they were going to do. They had passion behind what they do. And the simplicity really sold me on top of that, which was something that you do in 8 feet. You have the right behind you is all the rice. In front of you is all your noodles and your meats and your vegetables. So you never really have to leave that 8 feet. It all happens right there. And you can do this with no more than five employees, no matter how much volume you do in business.
Really? Five people can handle
it? Five people total. That's the highest volume store. So if you're doing $300,000 or $2 million, you could do it with five people.
Wow.
Wow, that's a pretty interesting business
model. So the labor, you know, is
Are the
controlled.
Typical franchise owner actually operating in the store, or are they buying it and having other people operate it?
Typically, we have the owner-operator.
That's what you prefer from a franchise?
I will say this. In the food business, you will have a 25% swing, owner-operator, manager-operator.
Really? It's that dramatic?
And the reason is because you have your money in the game.
Right.
You know, and not that you can't find good employees.
Right.
It's just nobody's going to engage with the customer, go out of their way, roll that red carpet out every day. You know, if it's raining, grab an umbrella, walk the customer.
Right.
I mean, we do things like that to exceed their expectations.
Right.
It's so key, too.
Yeah.
In any kind of food experience.
So are you sick of eating teriyaki every day?
I never get tired of eating Asian food, because actually the Asian category, 43% of any food operator will tell you that that is the direction they're going in.
Right.
So we're very excited about that. And since I've been in, I've been here 4 years with teriyaki.
Oh, really? It's been in Howe Mill? It's been there for 4 years?
I've been at the company 4 years.
Right. How long has it been
in
Howe
Mill? We've been there 3 years, May 29th.
Wow. So it's hanging in there. That's great.
Yeah.
We need one in Sandy Springs or Buckhead.
Yeah, I'm sure you have plans, right?
Well, I was going to talk to Amy afterwards, see if she wants to build a store out in Sandy Springs.
There's a lot of retail space.
Oh, gosh, yes. There's, and especially, you mentioned the Asian thing is catching on. I know a lot of restaurants that I frequent, I notice now more Asian type of dishes on the menu, because usually they're lighter and they incorporate vegetables. And it's interesting that you brought that up.
How do you do the thing without the oil? How do you do it with water?
We squirt a little water on the griddle.
Right.
We do it on the meat or the vegetables.
Right.
Unless you choose to have the cooking sauce. So you could have either way.
Right. But that must save a lot of calories, right?
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
The fact that it's cooked so quickly and it's not sitting, it keeps all the nutrients
right.
in
right.
too, because it's cooked so quickly yeah. and at such probably a very high heat.
Yeah, you're looking at under, 5 grams of fat, under 500 calories if you go with the water.
Wow.
So just figure if you had two main meals a day, that's under, it's 1,000 calories.
Right. So you're saving 500 calories? Is that what you said?
No, I'm saying it's under 500.
Under 500 yeah. for 500. A meal cooked in the water?
And this is a big meal. This isn't right. just your little tiny... I like to describe a few of the dishes. My favorite
sure.
dish is actually a noodle dish. It's a udon noodle. It's a wheat noodle. It's a little thick noodle. And you get bok choy, red pepper. There's some mushroom, green onion. And then you pick your choice of chicken, beef, shrimp, or tofu. And then we top it off with one of our four famous sauces. We have a Pan Asian sauce. We have a teriyaki sauce, which is our famous sauce.
Right.
That's what started the company. We have a sweet chili sauce, which has actually become one of my favorites.
Uh-huh.
And actually, I like to play around. I get a little of the Pan Asian, a little of the sweet chili. I mix it together, and I put it on top. Our number one seller is the rice meal. It's a chicken teriyaki meal.
Mm-hmm.
We have a variety of rices. We have a brown rice for more healthy choosers. We have a white rice. And then we have a healthy teriyaki-style fried rice. So we actually don't fry the rice. We actually steam the rice, and we just add some ingredients into the rice to make it taste like fried rice. And we add the peas and the carrots. And it's became a huge success.
Yeah, and that saves the calories too, right?
Absolutely.
Now, don't you think bok choy is underutilized?
Absolutely. A lot of people don't know what bok choy is.
No, and it's so flavorful.
I know.
And it's got
like
a great texture.
Great vegetable. Yeah. I don't think that should be in a lot of different foods.
Yeah.
It's only in Chinese.
You're right. You know what? You can use it in a lot of different dishes outside the Asian,
right.
category. But, bok choy is...
And it's super healthy. That's
super
like a nutrition-packed vegetable.
Wonderful. Tell us again the location us the website.
Now I'm hungry.
Okay. It's
I know.
It's at 1801 Howe Mill Road. It's in the district at Howe Mill Shopping Center.
So where? How is it off the highway?
It's 75 North.
So it's right off 75?
One exit up from North Side Drive.
Oh, so it's right.
And,
it's not that far.
Actually, we're going to, I'm making an announcement we've never made publicly in Georgia, is for the next 3 days, we are offering a free franchise fee. No franchise fee. It's a $25,000 fee.
Wow.
And we're going to extend half off the $25,000 franchise fee till the end of May.
Wow.
Just
wow.
to
so
get
if you're on the fence, this is the time to pull the trigger.
And you could reach, can I give a phone number?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Please.
770-632-7846. Or you can go on to our website, teriyakiexperience.com, and you will find... us there.
That
also
has the information about the franchise and the locations?
Yeah, it gives all the locations. We're in 18 countries.
Right.
We are of 138 locations.
So it's just new to us here in Atlanta.
Exactly.
Right.
But right now we're in California. We're in New York. We just sold Houston, Texas. We just sold Puerto Rico, which I'm going down to next week to.
Yeah, it's not easy being you, right?
Yeah. Actually, I got a couple unique positions. I'm the director of operations for the company U.S.-wide.
Mm-hmm.
And I got so excited about the food and the business side of it is I went to my boss and said, look, I know this is going to be a tough decision for you, but I want to own my own area. So he agreed to it. So I am an area developer, and then I'm a franchisee.
Right. So you're, so you're really buying into this teriyaki experience.
Oh, yeah.
You're all in.
I'm all in. It's awesome.
Wow. So the 3-day deal, you can say you heard it on the Atlanta Business Radio show. You need to check it out if you're on the fence. And then the half-off thing goes till the end of the month, right?
Exactly.
That would be cool. Maybe we've really prompted one of our listeners to take action and open one in Sandy Springs.
There you go.
That's right.
We have a franchising show coming up in a couple weeks, too. Maybe you need to come back.
Sure. Love to. Also, I got a free meal coupon for everybody here at the radio station.
There you
Ooh.
Go. Gotta love that.
You guys can come down and try it out
definitely,
yourself.
I'll be there.
Definitely will. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Tony, for being with us today. Give us that website one more time.
It's www.teriyakiexperience.com. And let me spell teriyaki because a lot of people spell it different. It's teriyakiexperience.com.
Perfect.
Great. Thank you so much.
And thank
Thanks for being with us today. So after you've had your teriyaki experience and you're ready for a little dessert, as I like to say, from
dessert?
Kansas.
That's what they call
dessert.
No,
dessert. Actually,
that's
they
from
say,
Atlanta, they would say that.
They would say dessert. Now, do you say cement or cement?
Cement.
Okay, see, I say cement, so I do say dessert.
Like from the Beverly Hillbillies? Cement pond?
Something like that. No, it depends on how excited I am about my dessert.
And your cement?
Yes, no doubt. And one thing I do love after a heavy meal is yogurt. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. This morning we have Steve Schuler from Menchie's Frozen Yogurt. Welcome.
Glad to be here.
So, Steve, tell us about Menchie's.
Well, Menchie's is a soft-serve frozen yogurt concept where we have retail stores all over the U.S. now. And they're originally based out of L.A. They started 3-4 years ago by Adam and Donna Caldwell. And Adam, basically he called his wife Menchie's, kind of a delightful name. He eventually found out that means respectful person, you know, kind of in the Jewish term. But they started one store, they grew that, and then over time they decided to franchise, and they started franchising last year. And excellent company. Very glad to be run into them.
So yeah. Walk us through what we can expect. Are there toppings for the yogurt?
Yeah, you come in the store. Usually if you come in certain times of the day, there'll be 20 to 70 people in the store, you know, just milling around. You come in the store, and really it's set up, it's a neat experience where they have a little what they call a bubble in the middle of the store where they have the counter and the cash registers and so forth. And somebody walks you through, and you get a little cup, and you get to try all the flavors you want. They have 14 flavors, or you can swirl a couple of these together.
Not and just chocolate and vanilla?
You can do, no, just not, but we always have chocolate and vanilla. That's good news. But
so
we're
what's it like another flavor? There's 14 flavors?
Irish cream, macadamia nut, red velvet cake, I mean, just on and on, tart.
Does that change, or there's 14?
It changes every week. We go in and we'll change two or three flavors, you know, if a lot of people like the chocolate, vanilla, peanut butter, we keep that on hand. But we're constantly changing flavors, and you kind of see by usage what people really like.
Now, do you serve yourself?
It's self-serve, and you go through, you taste, and then you get a cup, you fill that up, and then we have a toppings bar, probably 40 to 50 toppings, anything from, you know, something that's good for you, like fruit, to things that I use, like chocolate. And then at the end, we have something unusual. We have hot fudge, hot caramel, hot marshmallow, things that you can add, again, brownies that I love. And then if you really want to spice it up, we have a waffle cone, you know, that you can put it in. So,
but it comes in a bowl?
It comes in a bowl. Right, it comes in a bowl. And then you walk up and you weigh it and you pay for it. So it's a very simple process, and people love this because they get to do what they want to do.
Right.
You know? And it's a kind of an efficient process from the business point of view, but from the customer side, they just love to go up and taste the yogurt, fill it with what they want, try it out, and you can't believe the next day they're in because they want to try another flavor. So
it seems like so much choices, you would have to try it a bunch of times to really get what you like.
That's the trick. We want them in tomorrow. You know.
I think I was at one of your stores in California, like L.A. or Pasadena area.
Yeah, it's very popular. We're in Hollywood. We have a lot of stars come to our, you know, Facebook. They're always on the Facebook, and you'll see Britney Spears. I'm not sure if that's, but you'll see her, so people will show up, you know. So it's a fun deal, yeah.
Yeah, and it was nice because my kids liked, they could make their own, and it is interesting to see the minimalist and then those that like everything on their yogurt.
Yeah, we love them all, but we like the everything.
So it's just a flat price per ounce? Is that how it's
flat called? Price per ounce, right.
So exactly. You can just take a bowl and just fill it up with M&Ms and leave with that? You don't have to even put yogurt in?
Yeah, those are heavy. Come on.
Yeah, the gummy bears are heavy, too.
Yeah, right.
What are the light toppings? Sprinkles?
Granola.
Sprinkles or nothing, you know. But, yeah. But it's a fun business. We, Menchie's, what kind of differentiates us from maybe other yogurt shops is they have really focused on the quality of the product. There's a difference in quality of yogurt. Some yogurt shops you go in, you think, this doesn't have any taste. Mm-hmm. Every one of our flavors, we have about 90 flavors, have just a wonderful taste to them.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is experience. It's set up. We have Minchie's music. We kind of have a lively atmosphere. And I got interested in it because I'm a real estate developer from my background and was up in Knoxville. The first franchisee, I got to know him. We actually moved him in a center with a spa and a Five Guys and so forth. So great, you know, setup. And I got to know him, and I realized every time I was in the store, there are probably 20, one, a couple of times there are over 120 people in the store.
Man.
But it's a very fun, you know, in the afternoons, the kids come with their parents. At night, the high school kids hang out, and it's almost like going to a coffee shop. So I was attracted to the simplicity of the business, but also just the environment. I'm a family guy, I have four kids, and just loved it.
Is there beverages? Is there coffee or things like that, or is it more soda?
It's really, we're not heavy on that. I mean, we carry sodas and waters, and we're experimenting with coffees now because they're moving to the East Coast, so they need to work with that. So eventually there'll be coffee.
Mm-hmm.
But if you watch the people, they're just after the yogurt.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know,
what do they have in the store that makes people hang out? Like, how is it situated in terms of the seating and tables and things like that?
It's a fun, we get all of our furniture from Italy, you know, high priced.
That's important.
Looks pretty simple. But we have a chalkboard, say, for a little mm-hmm. kid. So they go over, and you'll go in, and you'll see 10 kids at the chalkboard.
Mm-hmm.
We have a community board there. And again, I think I mentioned the Minchie's radio. We have everything from the 60s and 70s that I grew up with, what I consider good music, to pop rock, to 80s and 90s. And so everybody that comes in kind of gets to experience that in a 5 to 20-minute stay. You know?
And it was colorful, too. I remember it being very pleasing to the eye, and my kids didn't want to leave. There were games. It's like a destination. You wouldn't just run in and run out.
Right.
Yeah.
You could, but you wouldn't want to stay.
Right, exactly. We have in our first location at Medlock Bridge and State Bridge Road, we have a party room in the back. So we've, you know, asked the churches or the schools, say, come have a party. We're already starting to book that.
Mm.
And again, people come in, they get their yogurt, they go back, they have a party of 15 or 20 people. So again, it's all about enjoying one another, community, just kind of fellowship with, you know, your friends and family type of stuff.
Where are the other locations in the area?
We have two franchisees here in Atlanta. I'm one. I have Medlock Bridge and State Bridge, and the other.
Oh, let's not talk about the other one, though.
Yeah. good guy. He really is, and he runs a good ship. And he's up in Roswell in Crabapple.
Okay.
Now, I'm doing five others be open by late July and August, and one's in Toco Hills at Druid and La Vista. One will be up and coming at 20 and 400. Then we'll have two in Buckhead, one at Paces Ferry and 40 near the mm-hmm. Houstons.
Wow.
And one at Tuxedo Festival right there at Piedmont and Roswell Road where the new Flip Burger's going.
Yeah.
So we're right across from them, yeah. And then another in East Cobb at Sandy Plains and Chalifer.
So you're just purposely avoiding Sandy Springs and Dunwoody.
We are. You'll have to come drive for it's worth the drive, you know.
You've just surrounded us, but didn't include us.
Right. Well, I give you coupons. So, but and when we plan to expand, I have plans. I bought a 12-store package
mm-hmm.
Here in Atlanta, and hopefully I'll build 10 to 15 to 20
stores. Is that like you buy 10 two, and you get two free? Is that how they do it?
You know, you need to call Minchie's. I like that idea. They didn't do that for me. So.
Oh, gosh. Well, great information. Great idea.
Yeah.
We got to go check it out, Lee.
Yeah, definitely. Have a road trip. I bet you guys tie in with the schools and do fundraisers for that.
We do. That's a big deal, and really we try to locate around schools. We become a business partner with the schools.
Right.
We do flyers. We have one school out by where we are, and they do little advertising every morning, you know. So they've done Minchie's advertising, and the kids get all pumped up about it.
Yeah.
And then the parents say, oh, we had to go to Minchie's because of your advertising. So it's
a win-win.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep, it is. It is.
Good and good for you. I imagine without all the toppings, it's probably very good for you.
It is good
for you. Probiotics.
It's right? How did you know that?
Oops.
That's very good. We say it's the wine of milk, you know. That's
the wine
what we
of
do,
milk.
Because it's fermented milk. Yeah. So.
Wow. You got
that's
me.
Fun.
I'm in.
We're out of time, Lee.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. We're way out of time. Gosh, thanks so much for being with us today, Steve. And give us the website one more time.
Thank you. Local website is MinchiesMedlockBridge.com.
Perfect. I'm going to come see you. I've got business all over the area, so I'll make sure I could come for lunch.
Absolutely. Right? You can make a lunch out of it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
With fruit and a little granola.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being with us today, and thanks for all of our listeners, and gosh, what great guests, Lee.
Yeah, it's a whole wide variety.
You know, maybe we should change the name of the Atlanta Business Radio Show to the Atlanta Food Show. How excited would I be?
You want to start a new show?
Maybe. Actually, our listeners need to send me emails if you're interested in being a guest. As you can see, we love to put spotlights on Atlanta businesses and make you shine. And if you're listening, until next week, I'm Amy Otto. Have a wonderful week.